since 1775, generations of Americans have fought for our ideals and our principles. American warriors secured the freedoms to create the United States of America. They fought to end slavery. They joined with allies to win two world wars. They have responded with valor and honor whenever called. And they have liberated more people around the globe than any military in the history of the world. Our all-volunteer forces of guardsmen, soldiers, sailors, marines, airmen, and reservists continue the mission begun at Lexington and Concord. Less than 1% of Americans serve in our armed forces. The least the rest of us can do is to pay attention and get engaged. This program is produced and broadcast for that purpose. It is presented live and worldwide at 1041thetruth.com. To engage, call 520-751-1041. The American Warrior is on the air.
One of our recent American Warrior guests, Leo Jenkins, competed in mixed martial arts and world-level CrossFit competitions. He's also an Army Ranger medic. He makes a distinction between a warrior, a man or a woman who dons a uniform for fight for our country, and a gladiator, an athlete who dons a uniform to compete or entertain. Today, we're not going to debate the distinction, but it did inspire me to further examine the relationship between the two. Some, like Leo, or a better-known example, Pat Tillman, have been both gladiators and warriors. But there are also athletes who support warriors, and today you're going to meet two of them. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to American Warrior Radio. This is your host, Ben Bueller-Garcia. First up, a name local KQTH listeners will certainly recognize. He's an All-American swimmer, former captain of the University of Arizona swim team, and he's been ranked among the top 10 swimmers in the world and is also a Masters World Record holder. For years now, he has also trained United States Navy SEALs and other members of the special warfare community in tactical swimming. He recently also put his web feet to good use, raising funds for the UDT SEALs Foundation. More about that later. But welcome back to American Warrior Radio, Jeff Utch.
Thank you for having me, sir. Always good to be here.
Now, Jeff, let's start off, like I said, listeners will recognize you. You're a regular on the James T. Harris show on KQTH, outstanding constitutional scholar. We're not here to talk about that today on American Warrior Radio.
All right.
But what are your thoughts just initially about the warrior-gladiator relationship and the comparison?
Well, look, I have been teaching Naval Special Warfare and other military outfits for 22 years now. But I have never put on the uniform.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when 9/11 happened, I was with one of our teams that went overseas and sacrificed more than I have ever sacrificed. And so, you know, my goal is to try to give back in any way I can to support them. But there is no comparison. And I, you know, I don't look at myself as one. I even after 22 years, I hold them in very high regard and recognize the sacrifices they make. I mean, you know, again, when 9/11 happened, I was the only man. I was there doing the training with that particular team, but they were all about to leave their families, to go away from their children and to risk their lives. I was coming home. And yes, I do have a particular expertise in the swimming field and particularly in the tactical swimming field. You know, people say, "Well, what is that?" You know.
You were a little bit behind me at the as far as age at the U of A. I don't remember there ever being any explosions in the U of A's aquatic center.
Exactly.
How on earth did you get from being a world class swimmer to a? Tell me the distinction between swimming and tactical swimming.
Well, first of all, you know, I trained. I went to Olympic trials in 1984 in a high school. I came to the University of Arizona. Because a swimmer from the University of Arizona, George DeCarlo, won the gold medal in my event in Los Angeles. So I said, I want to go there. So I was able to come here. I went to the 88 trials. I should have made that team. I didn't. I came back and qualified for the 92 trials, and I still trained for the 96. So I kept doing that, but as I got older, it was harder to compete. You know, I was no Phelps, but I was good enough that I should have made it at one point. But in that, I decided to go to open water marathon swimming because it's hard, it's cold, and less people do it. So there's less competition. And they paid you to do it. You know, you could go around in a professional circuit. And so it was very fun and competitive. And I learned a lot about open water. And then I started teaching triathlon clinics around the country. So I met some SEALs who came through that. So, you know, it's a very long story how I got into it. But I acquired some at least open water skills, which is where their mission is.
Mm-hmm.
And then after teaching them pro bono for 3 years, I got sent to some of their schools and then asked to develop a certain number of courses to send their operators through after I really understood what they did. And so tactical swimming is starting off all the way from the basics, but then it really is increasing the envelope of operations in any maritime type situations with swimmers in the water.
That just made my eyes roll back. Increasing the envelope of operations.
Okay,
is that something you can't talk about, or you'd have to have someone?
Well, it's just, you know, it's not building confidence, because these guys have all the confidence you need, but it is about building competence.
Okay.
In the water. Okay. On everything that they have to do there.
Now, when they come to you, Jeff, are they? I can't imagine someone entering SEALs training without being a swimmer.
Well,
I mean, what is the level of expertise that you're running into in your training?
Sure. Well, you know, many groups in the you can't be the best in the world at everything.
Mm.
You know, and so a lot of special forces use professional climbers or skiers or shooters to help hone their skills. And it's not that they don't have these skills, but we can all learn something from each other, you know.
Well put.
And so I am not an expert in anything but my tactical swimming. And, you know, I go and teach the Constitution. Those
mm-hmm.
are the two things.
Well, you're darn good at that.
I appreciate that. But those are the two things I kind of put my shingle out on. But when it comes to fighting or shooting or these kind of things, that's when I'm the student. You know, when I'm the teacher is when I'm talking about tactical swimming, when I'm talking Constitution, American history. But in all other cases, you know, I sit at their feet in the tables turn. So being able to affiliate with these men, men that are, you know, true Americans that have given up, you know, more than we can imagine. You know, the people that were there at 9/11,
mm-hmm.
I have some buddies who have been up to 13 deployments.
Oh my gosh.
Or more. And the fact that they are still alive, some of the stories they tell that have yet to be told or, you know, not even written down, is just incredible. And I'll tell you, you know, can I tell one quick story?
Sure, absolutely.
You know, and I think this has to be told. Not many people know this. You know, in 2011, the helicopter went down
mm-hmm.
From one of our SEAL teams, Extortion 1-7.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew a lot of the guys on that helicopter. That was a squadron that I had taught the year before. So I went back to their funeral in Virginia Beach. And after that, there was a change of command for that particular SEAL team. And when I was there at that change of command, the commanding officer ended it with these comments that I will always remember. He's talking to guys in 2011 that had been in combat for up to 10 years. You know, deploying and coming back.
Right.
And he basically said, look, we've taken a blow. We're hurting. Okay? We got to get over it. Anyone whose names are not upon the wall outside still has more to give.
Wow.
Now, think about that. The names on the wall outside are what?
Those who have passed.
Who have passed.
Yeah.
And he was telling this to guys who had put into 10 years. And I'm sitting there as a civilian, feeling very out of place, even though I've been working with them since 97 in that particular team, thinking, these are incredible people. You know, these are incredible people. So if your name is not on the wall, and I just kind of look at myself, I ask myself one question every morning, you know, am I dead yet? If not, we all have more to give. No matter what station of life we are in, if they are doing that for us over there and sacrificing so much, we have a duty here, and over there they're protecting our freedoms. My feeling is we have a duty to do the same within our own country, protecting our freedoms and doing our best over here.
Very, very well put, Jeff. You know, it's interesting you touched on something. I've felt similar in my work as an honorary commander and supporting the families out at Davis-Monthan Air Force Base and the USS Tucson. They're very open and they're very welcoming, and it is truly a family. And the Special Forces, I'm guessing, is even more so. But there's that line that we don't cross. We will never be one of them because we've never worn the uniform.
Right.
And I remember one time I was at a reception, a going away party for General Rand and his wife, and I said that. I'll never be one of you. And the look on Mrs. Rand's face, she was mortified. And I had stopped. No, no, well, let me explain. I don't mean that you haven't been welcoming, but there is a distinction. And those of us sure. who have not worn the uniform, we will do everything we can to support them. But there's a very bright line there between the two.
There is, and that's why there's so much dishonor in pretending to be one. If you're not, I mean, I'm very honored to be a tactical swimming instructor for 22 years, but I have not worn the uniform, and there's a big distinction there. I'm happy to give back, but it is just a very small portion of their mission.
There you go. And, you know, thanks for that plug. Folks can go back in the American Warrior Archives and hear the interview with B.J. Burkett talking about stolen valor.
Absolutely.
That was not paid for. Folks, this is your host, Ben Bueller-Garcia. We're talking about gladiators who support warriors here on American Warrior Radio. We'll be right back.
Who expect to reap the blessings of freedom must, like men, undergo the fatigue of supporting it. Now, back to the American Warrior.
We're back here on American Warrior Radio, folks. Your host, Ben Bueller-Garcia. We're talking about the relationship between athletes and the military, gladiators supporting warriors, if you will. We're back with our other guest here, Jeff Utch, who is a world-class swimmer, but still trains Special Forces, Navy SEALs. I think you'd mentioned, Jeff, the Coast Guard. You do some work
sure,
with them.
Sure, I've done
as well.
MSST groups. They're kind of the Special Forces. I have taught pararescue jumpers and Force Recon Marines, and but never Army, believe it or not. So,
we'll have to work on getting that contract locked up. Now, I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, sometimes when you meet somebody that says they're a doctor, you know, your office say, well, you know, now I've got you, there's this little thing here in my knee that I want, you know, free advice. So let me steal some free advice from Jeff Utch. I was at a change of command earlier this week for the pararescue community, and the subject of riptides off of, in San Diego, off of Coronado Island came up. What is, as best you can explain to those of us who dip our toe in the water once every 10 years, what do we do about a riptide? What is it, and how do we get out of it?
Sure. A riptide, you know, it can occur anywhere, you know, and they pretty much know where they happen. But if you're new to a beach, you don't know. And it's just where the tides are coming together, and it'll cause a drift outwards from the beach. So it'll be like a funnel sucking you out. And so people get into trouble in riptides because they see themselves going out, and they try to swim towards the beach. And that's the exact opposite of what you want to do. Really, what you want to do is swim out and parallel to the beach to get out of a riptide. So you want to use the current, get out of it, and get out of it a little ways. Like, you want to get out of it 50 meters, 100 meters. You should know.
Okay.
You should be able to feel it. But, you know, there are some people, I kind of know the currents because I spend a lot of time in the open water. But if you're not familiar with it, you might not know. But the thing is not to be intimidated about swimming a little bit out to ocean, okay? Because you just relax, and you go to the side, and you swim out a little bit, and then all of a sudden you'll see yourself not going out anymore, and you can leisurely swim in. So really, when I teach swimming, one of the things I teach is be the bob, okay? So everybody's fished with a little red and white bob, okay? And you put it in the, you know, the river, and if a boat comes by, is the bob expending more energy when the waves hit it?
No, it's just sort of going.
It just floats.
Yeah.
And so when you're out in the open ocean and the waves hit, so we teach in a way that you want to be that bob. You do not want to fight the ocean because the ocean will always win. And you need to be able to relax in it. And that's one of the ways I do a lot of these open swims and longer swims is you don't fight it. You try to become its friend the best you can.
Okay, well, there you go, folks. Always good advice, things you can learn on American Warrior Radio. Let's get back, Jeff, to your interaction, your support with the military. You had mentioned the SEAL community recently had a loss. Charles Keating was killed in action. And you and some of the SEALs there did a swim recently, didn't you, to honor him?
We did. Well, let me tell you a little bit about Charlie Keating.
Okay.
January of 2013, Charlie went through one of my tactical swimming courses out in Coronado. And yeah, I did not know he was Charlie Keating. I just, you know, it was Charlie. And he was just a you know, kind of a fun guy, was a great, you know, when I first saw him in the water, it's like, that guy was a swimmer. But he wasn't. He was a runner in college.
And he was from Phoenix, right? Born and
he was,
in Phoenix.
That's right.
Okay, so he's a desert rat.
Right. And so I talked to him after, you know, the first day, and I said, man, you, weren't you a swimmer? You know, I was a runner. I said, boy, you are a natural in here. And so he, even though he was that good, he still progressed well in the week. The last day, we went on a longer ocean swim. So it's in January. Even in San Diego, it's pretty cold. So everybody else, including myself, had their at least thin-layered wetsuit on. And Charlie comes out with his Speedo. And he's a pretty thin guy. And he comes down to the beach. I was like, Charlie, what are you doing? He's like, you know, hey, man, you know, I'm a man. We're going to go swimming. I was like, well, you know, let's see what happens. So he got in and started swimming. It was cold that day. He made it probably 200-300 meters. Swam back to the shore, ran up to his car, put on his wetsuit, came back. Now, in the meantime, everybody else is still swimming. Caught all the swimmers by the midway point. This is like a 2 to 3 mile swim. And won it hands down coming back. Not that we were racing, but he was just a natural. I mean, so he was, you know, a good 5-10 minutes behind to start. Was first out of the water, no problem. I'm swimming around checking on, you know, what I want everybody to do. And then coming out, we walked back to where we were going to have a classroom. And I was like, Charlie, this is incredible. What, do you have any relatives who are also swimmers? He's like, yeah, my cousin's Gary Hall Jr., who, of course, is a gold medalist.
Yeah.
And in Gary Hall swim at Arizona. I know Gary Hall, and I swam with his sister, Amy. So I was like, okay, that, you know, now I get it. You're a great swimmer. And, of course, we know Gary Hall, Charlie Keating lost his life in May or end of April over there in Iraq, and we did. I know a lot of the family members. It was a hard hit to them. And he was very close to the other members of his platoon, and we did a 12-mile swim or 11.5-mile swim around Coronado Island to commemorate him. And I hope we make that into an annual event, because these people should not be forgotten. Charlie was a true patriot, gave it all he had, and I think when the real story comes out on what he did that day, it'll be pretty amazing.
Well, and thanks for sharing that, Jeff. That's part of the reason American Warrior is here, to tell those stories. And some
Absolutely.
Of them, we have to wait to tell them until it's unclassified or whatever it might be. So what, over the course of your training time with the Special Forces, what would you estimate the number of men and perhaps women you've trained? Is it hundreds, thousands?
It's thousands at
wow.
this point, sure, because I've been doing this since 1994. And there's great parts about it, and there's sad parts about it. The great parts are I get to meet some just fantastic people that are driven.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and in the Special Forces community, they're used to working with driven people. And sometimes they'll have a hard time getting out into the civilian world because all of a sudden, you know, you're dealing with all types that maybe weren't, you know, having the same type of culture. So it's so great, and the friends and the support and just... It's fantastic. I can't explain it. The bad part about it is because I've traveled a lot and taught a lot of different troops and platoons and squadrons, you get to know a lot of people. And there have been now over 80 deaths within the SEAL community, and about half of those have gone through my course. And of course, I know some better than others, but with some of those, you feel it. You feel it very deeply. And, so we try through the Navy SEAL Foundation, the UDT SEAL Association, and that's why I did this swim a couple weeks ago.
Well, let's talk about that now. Okay. Let's tease the listeners as we go forward. Now, if I drive from downtown Tucson to Green Valley, Arizona, that's 26 miles.
Yes, sir.
In my air-conditioned, luxurious, leather-seated car. You recently swam 36 miles.
Yes.
10 more miles. To raise money for the
UDT SEAL
Association.
And that is mostly for former SEALs and those who have retired instead of active duty. And I'm for both of them, but that particular swim was for them.
Well, we're going to hear more about that when we come back. Folks, your host, Ben Buehler-Garcia. Jeff Utch is in studio with us. We're talking about Gladiator Supporting Warriors. The event I mentioned is billed as the biggest and baddest swim race in North America, the Extreme North Dakota Water Sports Endurance Test, a 36-mile swim. Jeff completed it. We'll be talking a little bit more about that when we come back. Stick around.
Hughes Federal Credit Union is proud to serve our active and retired military with great rates and lower fees on services you can access wherever you go. Join Hughes Federal Credit Union today. Learn more at HughesFCU.org. Federally insured by NCUA. Certain restrictions apply.
This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across our region in Pima County. More than 730 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. Improvements to our roadways, transit system, intersections, and added bike lanes and sidewalks make our region a better place to live, work, and play. We thank our member jurisdictions, project partners, the business community, project neighbors, as well as the broader community for your collaboration, participation, and support of the RTA plan. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to our communities, the RTA truly is making a difference in our region. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
At the Brush Fire Barbecue Company, we recognize that the freedoms we enjoy every day are owed to the men and women.
My daddy served in the Army. We lost his right eye, but he flew a flag out in our yard. Till the day that he died, he wanted my mother, my brother, my sister, and me to grow up and live happy in the land of the free.
If you want to discuss those who serve the red, white, and blue, dial 520-751-1041. Now, back to the American Warrior.
Welcome back, folks. Your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. Last segment here, we're talking about athletes that support our Warriors. Jeff Utch, you recently kind of teased, you recently competed in a long-distance swim, 36 miles in a river.
I did the Red River in North Dakota, believe it or not.
And you're doing this to raise money for the UDT Seals Association. Tell us about them and their mission.
Well, the UDT Seal Association is really a fraternal organization that supports SEALs that have been retired.
Okay.
They also coordinate the reunions, the SEAL reunions on the East and West Coast. They are a nonprofit, and they are separated from the Navy SEAL Foundation in that the Navy SEAL Foundation is set up to support active duty SEALs. And we did the very first fundraiser for the Navy SEAL Foundation here in Tucson back in 2004.
Oh, wonderful.
And we did it in 2005, and from that, it's really expanded across the country. So the Navy SEAL Foundation is on pretty good footing. They can always use more support. But the UDT SEAL Association is really for the retired SEALs and helping the transition between active duty and into civilian life. And so I got nominated and invited to participate in this race. I really wasn't looking for it.
Somebody that didn't like you very much, maybe.
So they accepted me as that, and I said, okay, the gauntlet's been thrown. What am I going to do? So I had 3.5 months to train for it, and I wasn't necessarily in the greatest shape. I got to keep in reasonable shape, but, I had 3.5 months to train for this, so I had to up it a lot. And I was really, also using my lifetime background. So we did and decided, hey, we might as well make this a fundraiser for the UDT SEAL Association, who I have, the president of that association is Chuck Williams, who's a retired command master chief, swam for University of Florida, was at the Olympic trials in 1980 when they boycotted.
Oh, no.
Multiple tours, combat tours. And so he runs it now, great guy, back in Virginia Beach, and I called him. He said, hey, great, let's do it. We'll put it out on our system and this kind of thing. So we got up a GoFundMe page.
Well, and that's I'm glad you mentioned that. So, folks, if they go to GoFundMe, you're still you completed the swim, or the swim is over.
The swim is over.
But you're still raising money, correct?
We are, and they could probably, the best way to find it on GoFundMe is just go to my website.
Okay.
Which is jeffutch.com.
Okay.
And Utch is an interesting spelling, but U-T as in Tom, S as in Sam, C as in Charlie, H as in hat, .com. jeffutch.com. And it's on the front page there of ways that you can still donate for the UDT SEAL Association.
I can't imagine another way of spelling
it. Okay, there you go.
That's just you
and
me.
That's just natural. Okay.
But now, as I mentioned, the race is over. You swam 36 miles. The winner, if you will, the first place finisher, Sandra Frimmerman.
Yes, I did get beat by a woman.
I didn't. From Excelsior, Minnesota. Who placed second in that race, Jeff?
I was lucky to hold on. Now, Sandra and I were duking it out for a long time. And quite frankly, I'm just glad to hold on for a second. You know, it was a great swim, 73 degrees. It's still cold, mm-hmm. but for open water, that's almost ideal. It was the longest race of my life, 36 miles. I've done open that. Now, that was in a river. I've mm-hmm. gone 26 miles in the ocean. That particular race I did many years ago almost killed me. That was in 60-degree water without a wetsuit. And my body core temperature in that swim went down to 86, which is where you're supposed to be dead. So I was, but I did make it.
And what was your time?
Well, many years ago in the ocean, I was 9 hours and 59 minutes for that 26. In this swim, I was 11 hours and 13 minutes.
You were in the water 11 hours?
11 hours and 13 minutes. You can't touch the boat. I didn't ever touch the bottom. I did hit a catfish once, and I ran into two logs. One scraped up my forearm, and I got a bruise on my chest from just hitting right. So the rivers, you never know what's going to hit you. But overall, pretty uneventful. You only had 8 inches of visibility. The currents were slow, but the water was not warm. But it wasn't too cold.
Now, when you say visibility, that's underwater because that's pretty muddy, pretty brown.
Oh, it's pretty muddy. I got some interesting pictures showing. And I had a Navy buddy of mine fly out from Boston to support me. He was on a paddle board the whole time. So every 20 minutes, he would give me the one-minute signal before feeding time.
Were there like little kayaks with taco trucks out there?
No, none of that. You had to supply your own paddle guy, and then he carried food and drinks. So I'd come up beside me, and because I'm not young like I used to be, I wanted to make sure nutrition is number one, and hydration actually is number one.
So you tread water while you eat?
You do. I go up beside him. I kind of go to my back. He hands me the drink. I drink as quick as I can. I'll take some salt tabs and maybe a goo or peanut butter and jelly sandwich or something, and then get back to swimming. Now, I usually do backstroke if I'm still chewing on my PBJ. Until I finish it, and then roll back over to the stomach and go.
Wow.
So I stopped a little too many times, I think.
Okay.
I probably actually gained weight in this 11 and a half.
I kind of doubt that.
11 and a half hour swim. But, you know, I was glad I did it. It was about the 24 to 26 mile mark, though my left arm started giving me trouble. So by the end of the race, the left arm's still healing now, but we did make it.
Now, you mentioned you were accepted. I assume you have to qualify. They don't just let any schlub like me jump in the water and try and swim 36 miles.
You know, you are supposed to send them a bio.
Okay. Well, because nine swimmers didn't even finish.
That's right. There were 27 or 28. Nine didn't finish. And the reason is this was the year that the river was going its slowest. So these were the slowest times. They've been doing this 5 years. Two or three of those years were 27-mile races. They decided to make it harder. But this year, the river was low and slow.
And
but
you're swimming
warmer.
With the current.
We're swimming, absolutely.
So, okay,
so that does help. It takes a couple miles
off.
In
fairness, Sandra had 16 years on you, right?
She did. She did. No excuses, though. I got to get in better shape. And
it just clarified, 16 years younger.
Yeah, that's right.
She was not in her, 60s or
that's
so.
That's right.
Now, Jeff, so you did this to raise money for the UDT Seals Foundation. You raised, last I checked, you raised about $8,523. Again, folks,
we had some other checks come in, so we're up to about $11,000 that didn't go through the GoFundMe.
Okay.
But they can still donate, and we would greatly appreciate it because it is to these warriors that are out. The UDT Seal Association does not have the financial backing it needs to really support these guys. And it would be a great thing to have more support there.
Now, and they can do that, jeffutsch.com, UTSCH.com. They can
correct.
Go there, find it, and make a contribution. I've seen everything from $10 on every little bit counts. In fact, you know what? American Warrior Radio is going to make a contribution. How's
well,
that?
That's very nice.
And you know how poor we are. Weekend radio.
That is the widow's mite for sure.
There we go.
That is greatly appreciated.
In the couple minutes we have left, Jeff, tell me what. Obviously, you're closer to the members of the military than most of us are as far as the intensity of your interaction as well as the amount of time you spend with them. But in your mind, as an athlete, why is it important to support these men and women of the military, and what special things do athletes bring to that table?
Sure. Well, for me, it is fulfilling. You know, I believe the definition of happiness is the pursuit of happiness is the journey to reach our full measure as human beings, whatever that may mean, to increase our talents, to become the best we can, while helping others do the same.
Okay.
And so many people don't know what they don't know. So they're in a state of unconscious incompetence, you know, that they really don't know that they don't know something. And so what I bring to the table is, hey, even though these are good swimmers, you know, they can do better.
Mm-hmm.
And guys at this level want to be the best they can at all levels. So I get a great deal of joy, not only because anytime you teach or have a test or prepare for a class, you become better. And so being able to better myself at the same time helping others open up and expand their operational abilities or their specific talents in an area gives me a great amount of pleasure. And so when you add that onto a higher calling of somehow being able to contribute, you know, in a very small way, I might add myself, to the things our nation is doing and to these guys' safety and ability to operate is satisfying to me. So I've grown to love them as people, and it has really brought a fulfillment. Obviously, family, faith,
mm-hmm.
and mm-hmm. other work that we do. But I don't think my life would feel as complete as it does without finding ways to give back in any way we can. And I think that's what, in our earlier segment, the commander of that SEAL team was talking about. We right. all have ways to give. And if you're not doing it, figure out how.
Give a little or give a lot, but give. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Well done. Well, Jeff, you're a great guest. I should have you on more often.
I'd enjoy that.
I'm going to do a show somewhere down the line, maybe, of folks that have been both warriors and gladiators.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
I think someone like Roger Staubach, maybe.
Well, and there are... that'd be a good one.
Shameless promo there, folks. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for tuning in. Jeff, our other guest, thank you
great
so much for being here today. You can find us, this show and others, are podcasts.
The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect the views of KQTH or the EW Scripps Company.